Zvachim Perkir Gimel Mishnah Vav 13:6. Now return back to a point that we said back in 13:4, two Mishnahs ago, where we said there was machlokas in the Tanakama, which is the Chum and Rebbe Lazar. What happens if you offer a portion, like say a kazayas amount of the komets or other meal offerings, etc., but not the whole thing, as one obligated? And there the Mishnah said, back in Dal, I'll read it to you, it says, HaKomets v'alavona v'hakatoras v'minchas kohanu v'minchas kohen mashiach v'minchas nesachim, all these different, you know, meal offerings or portions or whatever, things like that. Shehikriv me'echad mehen kazayas b'chutz chayav. The Tanakama says, if you put even one kazayas, not the whole thing, of the komets or the lavona, the frankincense, or the ketores, the incense, or the minchas kohanim, the kohen's mincha, which is burned entirely, or minchas kohen mashiach, the daily offering that the kohen gadol is supposed to pay for and be burned half in the morning, half in the evening, or minchas nesachim, the accompanying menachos, meal offerings that come with karbonos, notably the every shlamim and every ola. If you put just a kazayas, you'll be chayev, because that's effective. And Rabbi Elazar, poter. Rabbi says, no, a kazayas is not enough to make you liable. Ad sheyakriv eskulo, you have to put the whole amount to be liable. Okay? So here, and I should add, he actually agrees, v'chulam shekriven bifnim v'shir behen kazayas, if you brought everything except for a little bit where it belongs, but the last remaining kazayas amounts, whatever it is that you didn't put on, v'kriven b'chutz, that you put on the outside, then chayev, then you would be obligated, because in total, if you had to take them in aggregate together, that would be enough, what went on the outside, to make a person liable, it would be effective if you brought it inside, therefore it's left to make him liable if you brought it outside. Now here our Mishnah is going to revisit that and say, what happens if you have a mincha which has typically two parts? There's the mincha has the meal, and on top of the meal, it's basically flour and oil, you have lavona, lavona is like a type of incense, if you will. It's basically dried tree sap. You can imagine it for now as some cross between sugar, like rock candy, that's kind of how its texture is, if you will, and the golden raisins, you know, yellow raisins, that's kind of the color and shape, basically, you know? So think of the little golden raisin sitting on top of the meal. So what happens is, usually for most menachos, you basically push the frankincense crystals, whatever they are, aside. You take a komets amount of the meal, the fistful of the meal, and that goes on the mizbeach, along with all of the lavona. They're two separate things, and in order to be matir, to permit the mincha to be eaten, you have to offer both of those on the mizbeach. So it's a two-pronged requirement to be matir. So now, going back to the question of what if you do just a portion? So the Mishnah says, HaKomets v'lavona shehikrives echad mehen b'chutz. If you just offer one of the two things in the wrong place, either the lavona, the frankincense, or the komets, in the wrong place. So it says Tanakam Yerchayev, just like you said Yerchayev for a kazayas. So this is significant. It's a portion. You could do the rest later on, whatever it is. So therefore, Yerchayev with that already. Rabbi Elazar, according to the Shita, so consistent with his opinion, says, Poter ad sheyakrivish hasheni. You're not liable to having a chatos for halachot, bring a korban in the wrong place, unless you do both components. You won't be liable until you bring both the komets and then also the lavona. His Shita consistent. You're not liable until you bring everything. And the halacha here will be, again, like the chacham, not like the majority opinion, not Rabbi Elazar, that if you bring just one or the other, you'll be liable. Now, the Mishnah continues with the same kind of thinking. It says, Shnei bezichei lavona. What about the two spoonfuls of frankincense that normally sit on top of the showbreads, the lechem hapanim? So those, if you recall, of course, on the shulchan, the table in the kodesh, there in the holy area of the heichel, the temple sanctuary, there sits a shulchan table on which there are 12 loaves of bread, the lechem apanim, and that special kind of rack. It sits there from Shabbos until the next Shabbos, and then once it's been there for a week, the old breads are removed and new breads are replaced, and the kohanim will eat those 12 loaves of bread. Okay? Now, on top of those loaves of bread all week sit two spoonfuls, bezichin, of lavona, frankincense. And the matir, what makes the lechem hapanim, the showbreads permitted to be eaten by the kohanim, is the offering of the two bezichin, the two spoonfuls of that lavona on the mizbeach. So here our Mishnah is going to say, what happens if you just did one of the two spoons in the wrong place? So that's what it says inside. It says, shnei bezichei lavona, if you have of the two spoonfuls of frankincense that are sitting on top all week long of the lechem hapanim, shehikriv es echad mehen b'chutz, if one of the two are burned outside on the outer altar, on the out-of-bounds altar, where it shouldn't be. So again, says the Mishnah, chayev. That's the opinion of the majority opinion, the Chachamim, that a significant amount is chayev, even if not the whole thing. And Rabbi Elazar, consistent with his opinion, says he's poter ach yakrev es hasheni, until you bring the second bazich, until the second spoonful is also burned outside. So then you have done the whole thing, and therefore you'll be exempt from bringing chatas. Now he would agree, Rabbi Elazar would agree, that if echad bifnim, if one, the first spoonful, the bazich, is offered where it should be, ve'echad b'chutz, and the second one's offered where it shouldn't be put, out of bounds, then chayiv, you'll be liable to a chatas, because in aggregate again, if that one which is brought out were put in the proper place, it would have been effective. So now you brought it in b'chutz, out of bounds, now you're liable. Okay, now, new paragraph in the Bavli, it's like a new Mishnah here even. We're going to go away from meal offerings and the like, and now back to Zavachim animals. Here we talk about Hazorik Miktsas Dam B'chutz. What happens if you apply blood on the outer Mizbech? So first of all, before we discuss the Din, which the Tacham Melach is Chayat, remember, if you look at the Pesukim there in Vayikra 17, the first paragraph, the first Nahal Pesukim there, so it gives you two separate Isurim. There's a lav, there's a prohibition for Shechita B'chutz, and there's a separate prohibition of Ha'ala B'chutz, of offering up out of bounds. There's no mention specifically of zrika, of blood application. That's learned out from a drasha. The machlokas actually tanaim what the base of the drasha is, but everyone agrees there's a separate requirement, a separate prohibition, I should say, against doing a blood application, zrika, outside of the designated area, which will be for our purposes outside of the Azara, carrying a penalty of karas. So, now, given that, the question, what happens if you only apply one blood application? You recall in normal circumstances, like if for most korbanos, the ola, the chatas, the ashram, the shlamim, the toda, so you have at least two blood applications. Like the chatas actually is four, but for other ones, it's shnayin shnarba, two blood applications on the four walls, and you're supposed to put both blood applications. The question is, what if you just do one of them on the outer wall, like of the out-of-bounds wall? Is that enough? So the answer is, yes, it's enough chayiv to make you obligated. Why? Because no real big chiddush here. Because really, b'dieved, if you do just one blood application for an ola or a shlamim, etc., you're yotzi b'dieved, right? You're supposed to, let's say you're doing an ola, you're supposed to do shnayim shnarba, you take one zrika goes in the northeast corner, and then a second zrika on the southwest corner. But let's say after you do the northeast corner, the Kohen, let's say he trips, and the old blood splashed on the floor, now nothing to pour on the other corner. So the answer is, okay, b'dieved you're yotzi, because as long as one application was done to the Mizbeach, that's enough. So therefore, of course, it would be reason, since it would be effective, one application on the proper place, you'd be liable to a chatas if you do one application in the wrong place. So there's no real great chiddush there. The chiddush is that when it comes to the inner altar, so remember there are those five korbanos, the three bulls, the two goats that are the parim and sirim hanisrafim that are not eaten, but they're burned, and their blood is applied not on the outer altar, but blood is applied on the inner altar, the golden altar in the Kodesh. So there, the halacha is, if you recall, that the blood applications are ma'akev. If a person did, you know, let's say he's putting on the blood on Yom Kippur, he goes on the four corners of the Mizbeach, amongst other places. If he puts it on one of the corners, then he drops the blood and it splashes on the floor and that's it. So now, no, b'dieved, you're not yotzi. So therefore, individual blood applications in of themselves are not sufficient to make the korban be effective. So therefore, the chiddush is even there, one application is a significant amount, enough to make you chayiv, kind of like a kazayis, etc., as we had in the previous Mishnahs. But here, Rabbi Elazar does not disagree. And that's a little peculiar. He should say you should need to do the whole thing, like consistent with other opinions. But the reason why he doesn't disagree here is because Rabbi Elazar has a shita unrelated, a different shita, which is that the blood of Vodos that go on, the applications that go on in the inner altar, each one is a separate mitzvah. They stand by themselves. Not community being, let's say, for example, if you drop it when you start again, do you have to repeat what you did or not? So the point is, since Rabbi Elazar has a shita there that each blood application is its own mitzvah, he says, therefore, that a single blood application, even for a chatas panimios, etc., one of the inner offerings, that are, if it was put on the outer mizbeach, out of bounds mizbeach, you'd still be liable to karas. Okay, fine. Now, two other kind of loose ends, similar thinking, but like new paragraphs. The first is, what's with nisuch hamayim, the water libation that happens on sukkahs, right? What happens if you on sukkahs you bring water on the an out of bounds mizbeach? Is one liable for curse or not? So here the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, here the same Rabbi Elazar, who was essentially lenient before and says you're not chayav to even do the whole thing. But now in the context of the water libation, he has what kind of like a chumra, a stringency, he holds. If one does a water libation out of bounds on Sukkos, he'll be liable to karas or chatas. And the reason why he holds that is because he says that the source he holds, like Rabbi Akiva, that there's a source in the pasuk for bringing the water libation on Sukkos. It's a drasha. The pasuk talks about nisacheha, which is the plural. Rabbi Akiva has understood two nisachim are talked about, the usual nisach of the tamid, as well as the water libation on Sukkos. This is a drasha of the pasuk in Bamidbar Chavtes, pasuk Lamed Aleph. In any case, so that's his basis. Now, the Chacham disagree. They hold no. The basis for the water libation is just a halacha l'Moshe Mesina. There's no reference in the psukim. In general, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Arsina, there was no chumash, right? That was just, he had all the halachas at Arsina. Later on, Chazal were able to essentially show with where the drushs are, where essentially every din that Moshe learned, so to speak, is embedded or referenced or alluded to in the psukim themselves through drushas, and it can be extracted from there. But there are certain that weren't, certain halachas that have no explicit reference, even an oblique reference to a drasha in the psukim. Those are called halach l'mosh m'sinai, and the halach is like the chachamim, which is that the water libation is just halach l'mosh m'sinai. It's not from the pasuk, and therefore it's not included in the obligation for one to be liable. The technical requirements to be liable for a chatas or a karas, you need to have something in the pasuk, and there's nothing in the pasuk here, and therefore you'd be exempt, and that would be the halacha of the chachamim. Okay. One more point over here, a different thing, which is the leftover blood that's supposed to be poured on the yesod. So, in general, we say that once you finish doing a korban, the mitzvah of the leftover blood is just, there's a separate mitzvah to pour it on the yesod. Remember in that southwest corner, we had two little places. We had most of the korbanos was poured on the southern, there's like a kind of a hole in the southern yesod in the southwest corner. And then for the inner karbanos that are offered in the inner altar there, it was poured on the corner there, but on the western hole. Okay, the hole on the west side. Now, in general, pretty much everyone, except for the Rebbe Nechemiah of our mission here, the idea is that that's like a separate mitzvah, not connected. If a person fails to pour the shirayim, leftover blood, on the yisod, so then that's not ma'akev. It doesn't stop the efficacy of the korban. However, Rebbe Nechemiah in our mission here has a shita which holds that there's a separate obligation, which is a necessary obligation as part of the avoda, that the remaining blood that's from the korbanos that are offered on the inner altar, on the golden altar, inner altar, that the leftover blood is actually positively required to be poured onto the outer altar on that yesod, and if one fails to do so, then that's a problem with actual offering. And therefore, according to Rebbe Nechemiah Omer, shiari hadam sheikruva b'chutz chayev. If you take leftover blood from one of these, you know, the five chatos penimios, the serum and parim and asrafim, and you pour the leftover blood on an out-of-bounds altar, you'd be liable to karis. But the halacha is not like it. The halacha is like the other shitas, which is, no, there's no ikuv. It's not going to make the offering in Yom Kippur not effective if you fail to pour the blood that's remaining after you do the proper obligations on the yesod. And therefore, if you apply it totally out of bounds, again, that's a big no-no, but it's not the no-no of the pasuk, which requires you, which is the penalty of karis.